As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn upon the scriptures. I'll be reading from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 6 through 13. Romans 12, 6 through 13. It says here, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for this church community, the ways in which we are called to share our gifts with others in so many of the ways that have been mentioned in the scripture. May we continue to extend hospitality and love to those who we encounter. God asks that you speak through me and inspire me that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was a remarkable individual. In fact, a popularity poll conducted by the British Broadcasting Corporation in a few years ago, 2002, placed him fifth among the most 100 most influential Britons of all time. Fifth out of the 100. Some of them weren't kind of in, they were all influential. Some were like John Lennon outbeat John Wesley. John Wesley not only preached more than 40,000 times, but was also instrumental in launching schools and orphanages and microcredit loans for entrepreneurs and health clinics and the first free pharmacy in England. Wesley was a leader. He accepted leadership as trust given to him by others, a trust that he would ultimately account to God for. And one of the clearest evidences of Wesley's leadership ability was his capacity to recruit, develop, and deploy hundreds of Methodist lay persons as leaders, stewards, and managers. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at some of the different qualities that John Wesley thought were important as far as being a leader. There were 12 of them. We're not going to go through all 12. We'll just do three, I believe, over the next 3 weeks. And so before you say, well, I don't need to come the next few weeks because I'm not a leader, and I hope that you'll stay with me. Because the real question is not, am I a leader? Because we all influence someone. The question is, am I leading like Jesus? Am I living like Jesus? And so I'll be referring to a book called Lead Like Wesley by Mark Corvette, and I'll be referencing Wesley's guidelines and principles called The Rules of a Helper. John Wesley knew that God does not always call the equipped, but he will not fail to equip the called. That God doesn't always call the equipped, and if you come to church in a couple weeks, evidently I'm singing in the choir, and you'll see this. I hope that God will equip me at least for that week, so I don't embarrass myself too much. But God will not fail to equip the called. In saying that, during Wesley's ministry, he called those who no one would think to be a leader to help him, with most of these helpers having never served in any leadership capacity outside of their homes. He recruited soldiers and bakers and bankers. Jesus, too, as we read in the Gospels, called everyday people, people who no one would have thought to be the disciple, like fishermen and tax agents, to join his leadership team. Even though there were plenty of priests in Jerusalem, Jesus instead selected his team from among the hardworking that were just trying to make a living. Wesley understood that while you can impress people from a platform, you impact lives by stepping into their world and modeling the behavior you expect from them. Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, "Examples are not the main thing influencing others. It's the only thing. Examples are not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing." Although business leaders can provide financial enticement for cooperation in one sort of work or another, leaders in volunteer organizations such as churches and other nonprofits, well, that regularly depend on volunteers, don't have that same capacity and capability. As much as we would like to pay every volunteer that helps at the church, it's just not feasible. And so individuals that serve, who volunteer, who give of themselves, are motivated only by mission and personal fulfillment, bless you, and value of relationships. And so Wesley invested deeply in those relationships and sought to continue to learn and grow as he led. The first rule in Wesley's principles, guidelines, and principles called the rules of a helper is lead diligently. Lead diligently. Every Monday morning, Wesley would reflect on the question, am I resolved to do all the good I can this day and be diligent in the business of my calling? Am I resolved to do all the good I can this day and be diligent in the business of my calling? In the scripture from Romans that I read, Romans 12, the Apostle Paul is talking, "For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but be of sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually are members of one another." And so some have gifts of prophecy, and some have gifts of teaching, and some have gifts of generosity, and some have gifts of leadership. Some have gifts of being compassionate. And so as Apostle Paul lists these different gifts, he says, if you are called to be a leader, lead diligently. Lead with diligence. As we read the history and reread about the story of Paul in the New Testament, we see that he led diligently. He extensively traveled on his missionary journeys and preached the gospel in order to strengthen believers and establish churches across the Roman Empire. And in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul reflects on his efforts by saying, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." His tireless work and dedication were instrumental in spreading Christianity. And then 2 Corinthians, Paul reflects and recounts the hardships of his life for the sake of the gospel, including imprisonment, and beatings, and shipwrecks, and constant dangers. But despite all of these challenges, Paul remained driven by his commitment to Christ and the mission entrusted to him. The Bible uses this word diligence in several ways, and it's always in a positive sense. And so, in looking at the different definition of diligence, I found that it is the steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Number two, it said, a persistent and careful hard work. You see, diligent people get the job done. They don't quit until they have given it their all. In the same way, we see this diligent leadership in the life of Wesley. He wanted to make every day count in serving Christ. And that's why so much of his life was so methodical. Get it? Methodist, methodical. He avoided long conversations. He kept his meetings to exactly 1 hour with opening and closing with prayer, believing that long talks gravitate toward unprofitable topics and or gossip. His own consistent practice was to be in bed by 10 p.m. in the evening and to arise promptly at 4 in the morning. And to sleep more than necessary was, in his view, to deprive the Lord of the hours needed for worship and productivity. Now, I've not jumped on this bandwagon in my life of diligence as far as going to bed at 10 and waking up at 4, but I could see the benefits. But I'm guessing that Wesley wasn't too much into sports. Hook 'em horns. How about them lady horns? Although horse racing would have been a good one for Wesley to pay attention to, because he traveled more than 250,000 miles over his ministry, mostly by horseback going between different churches. Wesley believed every minute is precious, and the gift of today is equally spread, distributed to all of us. So Wesley sought to make the most of every minute. Diligence in leadership and in our Christian living isn't about relentless hustle or chasing applause, bless you. It's about leading with purpose, balance, and effort. It's about leading with purpose, balance, and heart. I'm sorry. You see, our diligence matters because it sets the standard of what is most important and how we use our time. If you come to the office during the week, you might catch me sitting at my desk, but a lot of the times I'm either in a meeting if I'm on campus, or I'm gone. I'm visiting schools or hospitals, I'm at the gym, or I'm serving in the community trying to make the most out of every day. And over the last couple years, as I said no to some things that I usually said yes to, and as I begin to say yes to other things that I had said no to, I've gotten more focused on how I spend my days. The first challenge in being a diligent in our leadership in Christian living is to be clear about which activities in our life will add the most value. And the second challenge is to allocate premium time for those activities. When each of us lives with diligence, it allows us to make the most of our days in order to make the greatest difference in the world, both together and individually. It allows you and me to multiply whatever gifts that we have and use it in collaboration with others who are doing the same. You see, for our success is not found in what we gain, but how we diligently strive to be in relationship with God, with one another, and the greater good. And so as we reflect on this first rule of a helper, lead diligently, live diligently, I would invite you to think about what areas of your life you feel that you need work on, I need work on this idea of diligent living, especially in the management of time as an act of worship and stewardship. And then as you reflect on it, where are those areas that you are finding most fulfillment in your living, that you feel that you're doing good and being a good steward of your time as you serve God and serve others? Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this time together, this important time in our week, that we gather as a body of Christ, as we reflect on the ways in which you're at work in our life and how we are called to share that with others. So Lord, may we, as we reflect upon our life and the opportunities we have, may we serve you and live diligently in sharing your love and grace with the world around us. We pray all of this in Christ's holy name. Amen.